Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on 3rd and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
Welcome into the Playbook. For a Wednesday and the inaugural edition of the 2013 NFL season for the New England Patriots. I'm John Rook. Eric Scalavino from PFW joins us usually on Wednesdays and Thursdays throughout the course of the regular season here in the NFL, and he will continue to do so again this year. At least that's the game plan, right?
That's my plan, yeah.
For now, anyway,
yeah.
Right?
As long as there's a playbook, I'll try to step into it as often as I'm here.
Good to have you back, buddy.
Thanks, man. Good to be here with you.
All right, so for the uninitiated, this is, as we tried to explain to Fred, and he gets lost in the eons of time over the days and years here, this is our 13th season to broadcast Patriots Playbook here on Patriots.com radio. Hard to believe that we've actually had this technology and been around this long. But this was cutting-edge stuff.
Pioneers. You're pioneers.
Total pioneers, total cutting-edge stuff back in the early part of the 2000s.
Meriwether Lewis and William Clark over
Pretty
there.
Much. Pretty much. Lewis and Clark, exactly. In fact, so much so that the first programs that we did were as this stadium was being built. This stadium was not completed. So, Gillette Stadium was still a glimmer in our eyes off to the distance. And now, of course, it's kind of funny this year when if you get a chance to come to Gillette, you'll say, wow, this place has been around now for 12, 13 years, and you can already see some of the signs that you need a little upgrade around here, you know?
Yeah.
They've done that with a great job with the nice, boards on the side of the field, you know, with the, what do they call those, Kevin?
The
ribbon boards. Thank you.
Yeah.
You know, which are pretty cool. And they've got some great additions this year for, you know, putting stats up during the game and, out of town scores during the game, all that kind of stuff. So make it very fan friendly inside the stadium, which is something that I kind of like to think that we've always done. Because for those that don't know, if you're sampling the program for the first time, this is actually my 21st year. As a member of the Patriots organization, this is my 26th year to cover this football team overall, but 21 years as a pseudo-employee of the Patriots, as the stadium voice of the New England Patriots. So,
and 13 of them as host of the
And 13
playbook.
Of them as host of this particular program, which runs only during the regular season. And I know that I had so many people again this year, and I, you know, this is up to Fred, because he runs the whole .com enterprise along with, the Patriots Football Weekly magazine, which of course, you know, you obviously, write for. But, we've talked about the potential of doing something during the off season once a week or whatever. And all I can tell you where I had so many people ask me about that during this off season who were kind enough to stay friends on Facebook and, you know, stay, you know, followers on Twitter and things along those lines. And I'll get those addresses out to you in case you'd like to join up. And I hope you do, because I'm really weak with the whole, you know, Twitter thing. I got to do a better job of building up my followers.
Well, I know what you mean because I recently joined. Well, not recently. About several months ago, I joined Instagram.
I've been thinking about that one,
and
too.
And I'm kind of thinking about it. I really am addicted to it because I love taking pictures.
Yeah, right.
And I get tons and tons of likes from all over the world, but I can't break 100 followers. And I have like 5,000 or more on Twitter.
And that's a lot of that's because of your PFW influence.
Oh, sure.
So.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
But it's so yeah. I feel your pain.
Yeah,
I feel your pain there, bro.
So we have to figure out a way to get me up over the 2,000 mark. I'm kind of embarrassed to say, but we just got to work on that hard. So first and foremost, the Twitter handle. If you want to follow and you're listening for the first time, some of you may already be followers, and I thank you for hanging on during the course of the off season. Because what I try to do on my Twitter feed, I'm not one of those guys that has to tweet about what I had for dinner. or, or I don't do that stuff. I try to tweet a couple of times a day if something's relevant to the sports that I cover. And I cover, obviously, the NFL, primarily the Patriots. I cover college football, and I cover college basketball. Rarely is there anything outside of those three realms of my particular universe in terms of my profession and what I do for a living. I also follow those three sports as a fan. So to me, even if I weren't lucky enough to be in this industry, and I have been in this industry for better than 30 years, even if I wasn't lucky enough to cover these, I would still be probably following and tweeting and doing these very same things, on my Twitter account and on my Facebook page, but because I love doing it. This is why I'm still doing it. This is why I'm still, beating the path down after all these years. This is why I'm still trying to ingratiate myself with these, newfangled 21st century technologies. By God, I got to figure all this stuff out. And I can't, I have to figure.
That's our first John Rook Texan voice, the old coot Texan voice of the year.
Old coot. That's the old coot voice. Yeah. That's a great way to put it. I've always tried to figure out a character name.
Old coot.
Old coot's good.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll do old coot. But anyway, the Facebook page, if you'd like to be a friend on Facebook, it's real easy to do. John.Rook. That's how you can find me, or just. John.Rooke at Facebook.com. That's the email address that's attached to the account. You can find me on Facebook, submit the friend request, and I will friend you, especially if you're a Patriots fan. Obviously, it helps if you're a Patriots fan, because you do get a lot of losers that are out there as well. I think everybody knows who, people that I'm talking about. People that try to scam you, people that try to spam you, whatever. Scamming and spamming. That seems to be the way of the world.
Hey, boss, you're a loser.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Then on Twitter, the Twitter handle, if you will, is at JR Broadcaster. A very simple one that my good friend here, Mr. Scalavino, who is at E_Scal, if you need to know that for Twitter, and I know many of you already know that, and Instagram also E_Scal. I would try to go with the at JR Broadcaster for Instagram, too, if I get around to that. So don't take it.
Or else the old coot's gonna come out.
The old coot's gonna come out and come after you.
You remind me of Yosemite Sam when you do that. That's what so I picture funny. You with the big long mustache.
One of the things you're gonna learn very quickly on this show is that we like to digress a lot. And my brother.
It's about this time, too.
Yes, it is. It's usually about this time of the show that we start digressing. My brother, I saw him for the first time in over a year, and he's got a sort of a reddish blonde mustache and goatee that makes him look just like Yosemite Sam.
What's his name?
Bob.
Oh.
Bob Rook. So he's got the Yosemite Bob look going.
Too bad it wasn't Sam. Sam Houston Rook.
Oh,
that sounds
goodness.
Like something that would happen in your family.
It does, doesn't it?
Name their kids after a location in Texas.
Correct. Well, my son.
That's right.
He's Austin.
Yeah.
And he was named Austin for two reasons. And he's been a guest on this show. He's been a contributor to this show. I'm proud to announce that now, as he's a freshman student at Marquette University in Milwaukee, he is within days now of debuting his own sports talk program on WMUR in Milwaukee.
Oh, really?
The campus station has hired him, and he and his broadcast partner are going to do a 90-minute show every week called Sports Smack.
Sports Smack.
Sports Smack.
Talking Smack. Talking Smack. Okay.
And they're going to do that on WMUR in Milwaukee. So follow him. He's A Rook 2. A-R-O-O-K-E, the number 2. A Rook 2. That's his.
So he's the true junior broadcaster.
He's the true junior broadcaster.
Right, he really is.
Yes. You gave me the JR broadcaster. That was actually part of this program.
I originally wanted it to be JR on air.
Yep. We thought about that.
But somebody had already taken that.
And then someone had taken JR Sportscaster. So we went with JR Broadcaster.
Right, because you've done more than just radio. You've done television.
Right.
You do this.
Right, that's correct.
So it's all broadcasting.
Right. And, of course, then leave it to, knucklehead Collins in there to start calling me the junior broadcaster. But that's okay. I accept that because I'm always working and I'm always striving to be better.
It's meant with love.
I understand that. So at any rate, it's at JR Broadcaster if you want to follow me on Twitter. And like I said, I don't do a 1,000 tweets a day. I really don't. I don't do 100 tweets a day. I don't even do 10 tweets a day. But what I do tweet,
right.
I feel is important enough to tweet. And I like to do some things, like I said, football, a little college basketball, and industry. involved. In other words, the broadcasting slash journalism industry, the business of covering sports for a living, usually having a lot of that. So follow me on Twitter, follow me on Facebook, become a Facebook friend. Again, it's John.Rook, R-O-O-K-E is the last name on Facebook. And then, of course, send email here to the program. That hasn't changed in 13 freaking years, people. So you should have this thing completely and totally indelibly branded in your brainstem. Webradio@patriots.com.
They're already rolling in.
They are. And the power of the playbook, I've hit 100 followers on Instagram already.
Hey.
How about that?
Yeah. All right. Time for a high five.
That's right.
Right there. See? So, you know, you got to help me get up over 2,000. I'm at 16-something on Twitter.
Come on, we
got to work on that.
People.
So if you're listening and you don't follow, just for grins and giggles, if you want to unfollow me in the off season, that's fine.
Grins
but during
and
the football season, you know,
well
come
done.
On, let's go. Get with it.
Well done. Grins and giggles.
Grins and giggles. That's kind of what I, you know, that shows my age, I think, a little bit probably, doesn't it?
No, it just shows that you're too polite.
Well, I do try to think of this program as a family-friendly program. Every once in a while, we slip and do things that we probably shouldn't do, and I know Strippers understands that very, very well. But we'll try to refine. And since he's an Oklahoma Sooner fan, sucks, then I think I think that we can probably cut him a little bit of slack. And if that needs some explanation, yes, I went to the University of Texas at Austin. I was getting to my son.
Well done.
I was saying he was named Austin for two reasons.
Right.
One, because we digressed, Kevin. This is Eric, okay? That's Kevin. This is Eric. I digressed. One, because of where I went to school. Two, because of Austin Crozier, who was a great basketball player at Providence College.
Yeah.
And we really liked the name because Austin Crozier was a student, was a player at the time for Rick Barnes when he was at Providence.
Right.
So when he was born. So that's why, two reasons why. And we wanted him to have, since he's the only, he's the first Rook, believe it or not, born outside of the state of Texas. The first Rook with the surname Rook was the first member of my family, my immediate family, born outside of Texas borders.
Wow.
So my family wanted, you know, him to have a little Texas heritage, so that's why my wife at the time, my now ex-wife, agreed at the time to name him Austin because she liked the name. It was a popular name amongst kids at the time. And I remember my mother, God rest her soul, at the time he was born, she shipped me up a bag of dirt. Texas soil.
Oh,
she shipped me.
Oh, okay, because you said that a little quickly.
She shipped me. S-H-I-P-P-E-D. Come on, get the mind out of the
gutter. There goes that family-friendly program.
Yes, you know. But she shipped me up a bag of dirt. Texas soil from her garden.
Yeah.
So he could be born over Texas soil.
Did you really do that?
I really did that.
And your former wife agreed to do it for you?
At the time. And now she's a former wife.
And now she's throwing that Texas dirt right back in
my face. Can't you see? I got it all over me. I'll be wearing it forever. So, at any rate, just a little familial history here. All right. There are a lot of things to get to on the program, but clearly in the opening program, I like to sort of set the stage and invite you to join the program. And certainly you can do that on the telephone as well. And I'm very happy to hear that Fred, bit the bullet and paid for the, you know, toll-free access. Not only for our fans that live outside of, you know, Massachusetts and the 508 area code here where we're situated, and we're, of course, in the bowels of Gillette Stadium like we have been for a long time now, but we've got a toll-free number for those that choose to call from outside of the area. And also, if you're listening to the program from outside of the continental United States, all you need to do is go to patriots.com, and there are several dedicated numbers to your country that you may contact us, whether it's the UK, it's Scotland,
Australia,
or one or the other.
Right.
Australia. Where else
South
do we
America?
Have? South America, I believe the South American continent
Asia.
As well. Asia, if you're calling from Asia.
Anywhere. Africa, too, right?
Africa, wherever you're calling from, there's a dedicated number for you. So if you're listening to the program, you're already on the website, because that's how we do this. And you just got to go to the homepage for Patriots.com radio and scroll down a little bit, and you'll find the dedicated number, because this is all about you. This program is for you, and I know that PFW in Progress is also about that. But at the same time, like I said to Fred and the guys before we began today's program and our inaugural program for 2013, that this program will deal with a little bit more day-to-day football stuff, and we just try to put a fun spin on it. This is not going to be, you know, chalkboard stuff like we're going to, you know, X and O, and we're going to worry about, you know, who needs to hit the hole on this particular dive play. And
despite the name Playbook, we're not actually going to do that.
But that's why we actually came up with the name Playbook years ago, because we wanted to deal with football-related stuff, except we do it differently. We sort of do an end-around, if you will, around the traditional X and O stuff, and we get to the point, but we just do it in a different manner. I need to know what your thoughts are, because it helps me evaluate what my own thoughts are about this football team. And covering the team for now 26 years, as I have, which is, I've been here longer than anybody in this building, save for Dante Scarnecchia.
That is a true fact. Yeah.
I've been here longer than Fred. Been here longer than Paul. And I've been here.
Andre Tippett.
Well, that's true. Tippett. Yeah, that's true. Because he played here in the '80s. So that's very, very true. So, but I was covering the team right about the time that he was also here. Mm. So he would be the only other person that still has a tie to this team. And I'm glad you said that. How could I forget Tippett?
Yeah. Please.
He's a Pro Football Hall of Famer.
He'll kick your ass.
He definitely will. And I always want to stay on Tip's good side. So, but other than that, there's nobody here in the building that's been around as long. And I've seen a lot of different things transpire, both on the field and off the field, while this, you know, organization was under the former auspices of the Sullivans, under the ownership, group of James Bush Orthwine, how this team very nearly moved to St. Louis.
You missed out on – were you for the Kyams?
I was here for the Kyams as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I kind of skipped over that because I think it's an era that a lot of people would like to skip over. Mm. And then, of course, through the whole issue of Orthwine nearly moving the team off and Mr. Kraft coming in and taking it away at the last moment and saving it here for all of New England, which certainly I think Patriots fans will be forever indebted. And, of course, the transformation of a once moribund franchise, and by moribund, that could be the word of the day today. But I'm not going to steal your thunder. No, I will not steal your thunder.
Okay.
But to turning into what easily could be called, with a little bit of argument, certainly one of the premier franchises, not just in the NFL, but in the entire planet. I mean, all you have to do is look at Forbes.com and look at Forbes rankings, and the Patriots are the number two ranked team in the NFL behind the Washington Redskins in terms of overall value and worth.
Thought it was Dallas.
I got it backwards. Dallas is first. The Redskins are third right behind us. I was going to say Dallas first and then Washington right behind us. It's the other way around.
Yeah.
The Patriots, I think, are the sixth most valuable
sports franchise
on the planet.
Yes. That includes English Premier League
and La Liga and everything else that's out there.
Yep.
And so those of you that are listening from the UK, you know what I'm talking about here. The Patriots are worth well over almost $2 billion.
Man U was still one overall, I believe.
Real Madrid, I believe. I think Real Madrid was number one.
Oh, Real was one.
I believe so.
And Man Slip.
I'd have to go look at it. And somebody, I'm sure,
Barcelona's up there, too.
Yankees. Yep. Yankees were the leading baseball team, but not ahead of the Patriots.
So I think we had the three soccer clubs, the Yankees and the Cowboys, right?
No, the Yankees were not ahead of the Patriots.
Who was the fifth one? I can't remember now.
We'll have to go look it up. We'll just have to look it up.
All right.
Somebody will, I'm sure, but I know you can look it up as well. But at any rate, the point is that we take it seriously. We are going to talk about the week's opponents. We are going to let you have an opportunity to dissect and analyze. We're going to let you have a chance to gripe about the things that you don't think are going well with your team. This is your chance, especially if you live outside of the greater Boston area, the Boston-Providence, you know, corridor, where you can get it, you know, ad nauseum on talk radio in the local area. This is your chance to, you know, have your Patriots fixed. This is talk radio.
You can't
for
get
those
it very good, though, on the local area.
Not even on 98.5, which is our flagship station.
They were sixth, by the way. The Cowboys are in front of them.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Yankees.
It was the Yankees?
I told you.
It was the Yankees?
Yes.
Come on, JR. I think they cracked the $2
billion mark. Come on, JR.
Then Barcelona, Man U, and Real Madrid were the top three. The top three soccer teams.
Barcelona, Man U, Real Madrid, and then the Patriots.
Yeah, so it was the Yankees. If you want to go in order, it's Real Madrid 1, Man U 2,
right.
Barcelona 3.
That's what I said.
Yankees 4,
and Cowboys, the Cowboys 5.
JR.
And the Pats are 6th.
Come on.
So we get to the bottom of it.
All right. Mea culpa. I actually said that on purpose because I can't stand the Yankees. There, I said it. Is that all right?
All right, good save.
Okay. Well, it's the truth. I didn't want to admit it. I just didn't want to admit it. But I respect the Yankees. Can't stand them.
Wow.
And that was way before I came up
as
here.
Yes,
way before I became a Red Sox fan.
A Ranger fan?
Yes, even as a Ranger fan.
Yeah.
And it was because back when I was a kid, the baseball team that I actually followed was the Oakland A's, believe it or not, because I loved Catfish Hunter, Joe Rudy, Reggie Jackson, and then when Jackson left to the Yankees, I hated him because they took him from the A's. I hated him, and I've hated him ever since.
As much or less than Oklahoma?
Oh, way less.
Okay, that's what I thought.
There's one major reason why the state of Texas does not fall into the Gulf of Mexico.
Okay, John, what is that reason?
Because Oklahoma sucks. There you go.
Come on, Kevin, where's the rim shot?
He's looking. He's looking. Jeez. He's doing his producer's duties.
Yeah, but he's also got to, you know, he's got to be ready for your rim shot.
What is this, Kev, 3 years now? Is this the third full year, fourth year? All right, fourth year. I lose track of time.
Sucky, sucky, sucky.
There we go. All right, that's it. Where's the strippers quote?
He's an Well, the one time we did get John to
that's the one time I've cursed.
Drop some profanity on
the
family
friendly
playbook.
Friendly playbook.
Okay. Yeah, careful how you use that.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to do that anyway. Right. Okay. Business in hand today. We're already half an hour into the show, and we spent the first half hour catching
what
up
we do.
And making nice. We want you to participate. So you know the email address, webradio@patriots.com. We will get to emails. You know the Twitter address, the Twitter handle, which is @JRBroadcaster. You know the Facebook, which is John.Rook, R-O-O-K-E. Submit the friend request, and then we'll be friends.
I think that might be part of the problem for you, John.
What's that?
Too many different names for all of these accounts.
Probably.
You got to simplify. You got to streamline.
But that's why I use Twitter for most of my Facebook posts.
Right.
Because I've tied the two accounts together.
Okay.
So you can get it whether you're a Facebook, and some people prefer Facebook. I don't really have a preference, so I tied my Twitter to my Facebook. Mm. So most of the time on Facebook, the posts you'll see will be tweets. Right? So if you want to follow either way, you can. It doesn't matter, which I kind of like. And, of course, you can pick up the good old-fashioned telephone, and you can dial the number.
Yeah.
The area code is 508-298-0398.
Or for those of you out of the area code.
I can't see the placard over there because Fred has it turned the other way.
It's Kevin.
I'll come turn that.
855.
Mark Bertrand made that. It's 855-PATS-500.
That's what I thought it was, but I didn't want to make a mistake. 855-PATS-500.
Yeah.
Toll free, 855-PATS-500. And if you want to, even if you're at 508, you want to, you can do that.
Works.
You can call that number. It's because it all rings down to the same thing.
Sure does.
So those of you that have messaged me on Facebook, tweeted me on Twitter, sent me emails, I sure wish the playbook was back. Now's the time. Let's go. Get on with it. 855-PATS-500. 508-298-0398. I've got a major question of the day, which I usually do. In addition to Tuesdays, for at least 10 years out of the 13 years that we have been doing this program, we affectionately call, and it's affectionately derided by the PFW guys, it's affectionately known as Nitpick Tuesday. And that's because even though we're a couple of days removed from the previous Sunday's game, we take a stance of standing back from the game and letting it all soak in without any immediate emotion involved. And we pick the nits. We look at the little things that we'd like to change but may not have the power to change, the things that we'd love to see changed, little nagging problems that we can foresee. We call it nitpicks, and we have Nitpick Tuesday. And since we didn't have a Nitpick Tuesday because yesterday was, in effect, Patriots Monday because of the short work week with Labor Day here in this country, today is Nitpick Tuesday.
All right.
Okay? So what
on
I want
Wednesday.
You, yes. So what I want you to do, I've got this as question number one for the day, Nitpick Tuesday on Wednesday. Out of everything that transpired through the preseason and even the off season, what's the one?
There was a lot.
Yeah, and there was a lot, and I know that this could bring in some off field stuff, and I understand all that, and I opined about that, you know, as we opened up the show with, you know, transitioning from PFW in progress, and I'm not getting into great detail about it, but I want you to pick something that happened, and tell me what you'd change. Just tell me what you'd change. Is there a personnel move?
You can go back in time and do this.
We're talking about from the date of our last program, which would have been the Tuesday following the AFC Championship game in January.
I mean, mine's going to be really obvious, John.
Okay.
I mean, I'll save it if you want.
All right.
But
it's
going to be really obvious.
Okay. That's question number one. All right. So I want you to change something that has transpired since the last time this program has aired here on Patriots.com radio. That's number one. Number two, I mentioned that today's going to be a You Pick Day. And I kind of started doing some of this last year, and I'm going to try to bring it up weekly if I can this year, where we're going to do some, you know, picking other than nitpicking. Everybody likes to take a look at the schedule. Everybody says, okay, win, loss, win, 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 win. We're going to go 15-1, baby. We always hear that stuff, all right? What I want you to do, though, today is pick the games the Patriots will lose.
Oh, I've done that with Paul and Andy
in
his office.
Okay.
Yep.
So well, we're going to
we go through it with you.
We're going to go through it in just a little bit. He's going to help us, but I want you to take the time right now to pick the games you think the Patriots will lose this season. And let me know what you think and why you think it. Webradio@patriots.com is how you send us the email. The telephone number, 855-PATS-500 or 508-298-0398. You want to call in and do that? You can do that. You want to Facebook it? John.Rook, R-O-O-K-E. You want to tweet it? @JRBroadcaster. Fair enough?
Sure.
I think that's good cannon fodder for getting us started because that kind of sets the table and gives people a chance to a little preseason prognostication, if you will. Because most of the people think, okay, 12-4, 13-3.
Not me.
I don't either. And you and I had this talk very early in training camp when we were, you know, here as the training camp unfolded at the end of July, a little more than a month ago. So kind of lead it off here. Let's go that direction then, if we can for a moment.
Sure.
And while we allow our listeners to respond to the two questions of the day that we have. I don't feel terribly confident about this team, and I'm not sure if it really has more to do with the fact that it's a brand-new wide receiving core for Tom, because I do get the impression, at least initially, that the defense will be better than last year. I don't know if it'll be exponentially better, but I think they're making steps. I think they're making progressive steps. I just don't know how much. I don't know if it'll be enough to make up for what we're going to be lacking, what this team will be lacking offensively. I think Tom Brady will still be Tom Brady. I think he'll throw probably somewhere around 400 completions, probably approach 5,000 yards again.
That's a good year for the receivers then, John.
I think it's a good year for the receivers. I think he can, but I think based on targets, I don't know. I think this team might be better suited grinding it out a little bit more because I think it's clear to see that we have some depth and we have some talent at running back. I'll tell you why I'm hedging is because I know there's some thought to using LeGarrette Blount in kick return situations, and I'm not so sure that's a good thing. I'd like to see LeGarrette Blount be the hoss. That's just my own personal feeling because I think he can grind it out and do things, and that really takes nothing away from Stephen Ridley. I think Ridley's dynamite back. Last year he rushed for almost 1,300 yards. So I think is he a number one guy? Yeah. I'm not sure that the Patriots need him to be the number one guy because if you really need somebody that can get the tough yards, and I'm going the direction of Corey Dillon here, fans, because think about, you know, what the team was made up when Corey Dillon was the lead hoss back there a few years back.
I care about the numbers.
Oh, yes, you do, and you will care about the numbers this year because I think the Patriots may need to rely on the backs, and it could be that Blount's the kind of guy that can get the Patriots where they really want to go this year, and that's back to an AFC Championship game.
Well, I like Blount. As an antidote for Ridley, when he, you know, needs a breather, you have a competent, experienced veteran, who is obviously a bigger body even than Ridley is, and is in that same kind of role. I think that's a good option to have that they haven't had since Dillon left. So that's point one.
Yep,
I agree there, but also, I feel much better about the receiving core now than I did at the start of camp. I don't think anybody saw how well these young guys were as a group going to catch on? I think some people thought, oh, maybe Dobson will step up or Boyce will step up. It's been Dobson and Boyce and Tompkins and to some extent Quentin Sims, who's now on the practice squad. Amendola's been outstanding since he got here. You know, he's not a youngster by any means, but as a new group, I'm pleasantly surprised by how productive they've been. And so that said, I feel less pessimistic about the offense than I did 2 months ago.
So have you but
I don't
changed
know if
your prediction
I don't
for
know
season?
If that's going to help much with my prediction change for the season.
You said, and I know you've said on PFW, you said 9-7, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think it'd be, I'm going to stray much from that. I mean, 10-6 could be possible.
Well, that's where
I don't see them winning many more games than that.
That's where I am. I'm at 10-6.
Which is still going to be enough to win the AFC East.
Still should be enough to win the AFC East and get in the playoffs.
The problem is a lot of the teams I have them losing to are teams they're probably going to face again in the playoffs, and that's not going to bode well for them.
So I think that's kind of where I am with this, because I think this team will struggle. Struggle is
Well, struggle
that's a different word.
Against the teams that are good.
Against the teams that are good, I think this team will probably
which means they're not that good.
No. No, I think this team will struggle is still a term I'm not really looking for. Let's just say that they'll have an easier time of it against teams in their own division. It's a good thing they play the AFC East, you know, a total of six times. I think this team easily can go 5-1 again. Probably more like 4-2, because, you know, and one of those losses could be this weekend.
Now, one of the things, too, I should say is the defense has a chance to be a lot better than they were. They have a chance. I didn't see much of that during the preseason, but that could just be because you don't game plan in the preseason and you play vanilla defense and you don't do what you're going to do when the games count. So I still hold out some hope that the defense can lift itself out of the basement where they've been statistically the last few years. And if they do that, that gives them a chance to win more than 10 games.
Right.
But I still think that the playoffs are going to be, it's going to be tough for them to get back to the AFC Championship game.
It's not impossible.
No.
It blows down, because I still think that the heavyweights in the NFL are largely coming from the NFC. I think their chief competition in the AFC this year was certainly, you got to start, you know, there's the defending champs, who I think have taken some losses.
Yeah.
And
as
quite
most
frankly,
champions do.
As most champions do. And I think, quite frankly, they're going to get a real run for their money with the Bengals in that division this year. That being said, I think the top
Bengals
team.
Bengals going to win it.
I think the Bengals could win that division. Yes, I do. I think that being said, I think the top team in the AFC to start the year is Denver.
Me too.
And it has really very little to do, although it has some to do, with Wes Welker's addition to Denver. I just think Peyton Manning is back closer to being Peyton as he ever has been and may ever be, and it's probably all going to be a downhill track from here from him. This may be, you know, the peak. And if this is the peak, he now has an extra ingredient of which to go to, and that extra ingredient being Welker. You know, if they can survive Von Miller's absence because of the suspension for a while, you know, and, you know, continue to win games, then when he comes back, you just amp that defense up even more. So I like Denver, and I think Denver is going to be the chief competition for the Patriots. Now, granted, a lot of people nationally look at the Patriots fairly favorably. Peter King picks them to win the Super Bowl.
Adam Schefter has them against Seattle, I believe.
In the Super Bowl. So there are national reporters and national pundits, national columnists, if you will, that like the Patriots at the beginning of the season to be a team still standing at the end of the year. And I think, yes, they have a chance. But I'm telling you why I don't think they will. And I'm just not entirely certain that having such a young core of receivers, and because you have uncertainty with Rob Gronkowski and when he's coming back, and when he does come back, the way he plays football, that he doesn't end up on IR eventually before this year is over. And we all know that injuries are a factor for every team in the league. I'm just not certain that the Patriots can keep that all offensive cohesion together. And I think that relying on the running game is something that they should start to do early. And I think it's something that they should maintain throughout the course of the year. I think it's always tough to switch gears if you're mostly a pass-first team. And we've seen this team try to integrate more of the running game early on. And they set the tempo for that in game one of the preseason this year. I hope that they can continue with that, because I think that's their best way to winning 11, 12 games and being the Patriot team that we all as fans of the organization, that we all have seen them do. I think that's their way to go. And if, you know, the Patriots struggle in the passing game, then how soon does it take teams the ability to recognize and start loading up in the box because they know the Patriots can't beat them with a pass? And I think that'll be one of the first, shall we say, crisis points, flash points that this team will face as the season unfolds.
I think you touched on a good point with the youth. Because
14 first-year players on this roster, which is so un-Bill Belichick, it's totally blown me away.
Yeah,
and it tells me two things. One, they know that they have a crying need to continue to get younger. And by the way, the Patriots, I think, are just out of the top 10 in terms of young teams in the league this year. If you look at the average age per player on the roster this year, I think the Patriots are like 11th. Somebody did a poll. I don't know if it's Sporting News. I read a poll like a week ago. Maybe you can help me with that one, E. But somewhere, I think they were ranked 11th because they still have the Tom Brady's and the Vince Wilforks of the world. But 14 rookies.
Well, I also count the practice squad because during the course of the year, there are always players from the practice squad that wind up on the 53 or wind up playing
somewhere, shuttling
back and forth.
Yeah.
You include the practice squad as of today, Wednesday, September 4th, 20 rookies. Out of 61 players, that's one out of every three Patriots is a rookie. Mm. And first-year players, you mentioned. The other guy on the practice squad, seven of the eight practice squad are rookies.
Mm-hmm.
The one who's not is in his second year, Marcus Forston.
Right.
Technically, he's a first-year player, but he's in his second season. And then you have, let's see, one, two, three, four, five, six. You got a half dozen guys in their second year. So rookies and second year guys make up almost half the roster. Which is
roster.
Why I think it's going to be difficult for them to get where they want to be.
All right. Let's get a couple of phone calls in here. Again, it's 855-PATS-500, or you can call the same old number, 508-298-0398. I thought you were out of the University of Arizona, Derek.
No, I'm just out of the Boston area now, John. I'm back in the area now.
I also love this kid's sense of entitlement. He goes on Twitter and announces hopping on the playbook with JR broadcaster and Escal, as if he were an invited guest that we had scheduled to bring on here.
Yeah, Eric, I think
he likes to think that he just calls in and we're just gonna take his phone call.
I don't really mind that so much because I mean, you know, I know.
Yeah, but John, it's the first call of the year. I have to
hold for a half hour.
I have to give him a hard time. It's his first call.
That's also true. But I know he has a good Twitter following. I know that he'll show me some love. You know, and he does a good job, and he's done a good job in the past writing articles and columns for Pats fans, and I know that you do your own podcasting, right?
Yeah, we've been doing a show for the website. It's been really good, Patriots 4th and 2. But I wasn't really coming to plug that. I was coming to, you know, promote the show. And Eric, you know, thanks for the early shot. I'll tell you, I think you misheard John though. He didn't say he was doing. You thought he said. End around for you. It's reach around coverage.
No.
Oh!
Gotta watch that.
Wow. He finally learned something after 25 years at the University of Arizona.
There you go. I've established. I left with a couple of broken bottles on the campus and a couple of bricks carved into, but no degree. So
no degree.
Well, you are going to finish and get that though, right?
Yes, sir.
I don't need to get you. I don't need to give you the parental
too much time in the
lecture,
weight room.
Do I? Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Way too much time in the weight room.
Okay.
But, yeah. No, I'm right with you, John. I'll tell you, you guys hit on a lot of topics though right on the show. I'm not really sure which way to go first. So
start with the. The first question: what would you change?
What would you change from the off season?
Man, well, there's a couple ones directions you could go. If I had to pick one, I think I'm most concerned about the safety position right now next to McCourty, and I was someone who was kind of I guess, pushing for Adrian Wilson because I thought he had something left in the tank.
So
now,
I
was wrong.
Yeah,
but
I was too.
They could have gone in a couple of different directions. They could have addressed it in the draft, and someone, you know, some might say they did it in Jerron Harmon. I would argue they didn't. But I think that physical presence on defense, as much as I think it could be dynamic in the front seven, I think that that physical presence is still going to be lacking.
I agree with you, Derek. They did and they didn't address it in the draft.
Right.
They did in that they took a safety in Harmon, who has quickly moved up the depth chart and supplanted Adrian Wilson. But they didn't in that Jerron Harmon is not the answer.
Right.
So, yes, they have... You know, on paper they've done that, but they haven't really because I don't see him being that type of a force that Adrian Wilson once was in this league.
Yep.
Certainly isn't nearly as big as Adrian Wilson was.
Yeah, no, I just think they need that physical presence in the defense. You know, Eric, I think when you have McCourty, who I think could take that next step this year at the safety position, you know, when you have Denard, Arrington in the slot, and Tlaib, you have a good set of, you know, cornerbacks right there.
Mm-hmm.
And Logan Ryan has kind of been ascending throughout camp and throughout preseason, which is good to see.
Yeah, he's ridden a roller coaster.
He's
taken his rookie, you know, he's got some rookie growing pains, but he's made progress.
Right. I just think that safety spot is the one that I'd probably change. I'm not sure which way you would go, but I think that one they might need to have that one back.
I kind of think great minds think alike because that would be one that I would certainly target right at the top of the list. I expected more out of Adrian Wilson and disappointed that it turned out the way it did.
Right.
All right. So, and then of course the second question has to do with picking. And if you look at the Patriots schedule, which games are they going to lose?
Which games are they going to lose? Well, I won't tell you, two of them I won't tell you specifics because I think they're just going to end up going 5-1 in the division. So, probably to the Dolphins or the Jets. They'll probably drop one of those games.
Yeah. Pick one.
Yeah, pick one.
All right, then I guess I'll say when they play the when they play the Dolphins. Then.
All right. At Miami is a loss.
At Miami?
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
At Miami would be a loss.
Yep.
I would also say they're going to drop a random one. Just a random game. Maybe to the Bengals, cuz a lot of people have the Bengals kind of like you guys said making a big push. I think they could win the division, but I don't know. I'm not sold on Andy Dalton myself. I just really don't see it. He has
a lot of talent on
weapons.
That team, though.
I got to tell you, he has a lot of talent around him, and I think he's getting better as a quarterback. Did you spend any time watching Hard Knocks?
I'm not really a big Hard Knocks guy. Usually, when I do, I'll watch it at the end, and I'll kind of just power right through it.
I did watch, you know, I watched most of them. I didn't get every episode, and I haven't watched this week's yet, which is the final one of the season. But I have to admit, I was impressed with some of the stuff that I saw. I also think that Marvin Lewis is very lucky he has the staff he has, because I'm not impressed with him as a head coach.
Well, I'll tell you what, someone who should get a head coaching, you know, spot or at least a nomination at least pretty soon will be the defensive coordinator, Mike Zimmerman.
No question.
Because
I love
Mike Zimmerman.
I think he's great. And I think the Cowboys just show their foolishness, you know, especially when they had some of the segments of a week or so ago of him talking to Jerry Jones, like going back to the Dallas where he was an assistant there. And I'm like, what the hell are you guys thinking?
Yeah.
You know, Mike Zimmer is a great coach, and he's a personable guy, and I do believe that, you know, maybe this is his opportunity. If the Bengals have some chances, he'll get his shot as a head coach. I think he's pretty good. I agree with him.
So, I don't know. I mean, I think as far as this team, I have them 12-4, so I would say a loss in the division, we'll just say Miami.
Yep.
I'll say the Bengals.
Yep.
I think that there's a good chance they lose a Falcons or a Saints shootout. I guess I'll say the Falcons, because I as much as I think this team has potential to grow, I have a little more confidence than you, John, but I certainly think their starting point is a little bit lower because of all the roster turnover. I mean, I feel like 2 years ago we had a big talk about roster turnover on the show, and it continued again. I mean, their starting point of the average age of the roster is almost the exact same as last year's at a little over 25.
Yeah.
Just, you talked about the 14 rookies. I'm not sure. The offense especially will be starting slow and I think will slowly build. They'll probably have to lean on that running game early. I just don't think you can win a game during the regular season like that against the Falcons. So I'd probably say they drop the Falcons. And then probably against the Texans later, I think they can beat the Broncos. There's a good chance they play them later.
Yeah, because Denver's here, so I wouldn't necessarily disagree with that.
Right. But see, at the same time, I think the Patriots have had a pretty good, Denver's giving them a hard time. In fact, I'm pretty sure that Brady's has a winning record against every other NFL team except for Denver, who he's tied with. I think over like lifetime, I think he's like 6-6,
mm-hmm.
if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd have to double check that. But you know, I think Jack Del Rio's defense, the Patriots have done a pretty good job against it, and it's home. I think that could be an interesting one. Although it would be interesting poetry if Wes Welker had a big play against us in the playoffs or something like that. Not that I'd necessarily want to see that, right. But I think that would be an interesting storyline.
All right. Derek, good stuff as always. Way to throw the fastball in there on the opening day.
All right, John, good talking to you, man.
Don't be a stranger, right?
Absolutely.
And don't give up on school.
I know.
That has to be my dad lecture to you today, all right?
School hasn't given up on him, that's for sure.
No, definitely not.
No, seriously, good. Yeah, thanks for calling.
Way to go, Derek. All right, let's go down under. Peter in Melbourne, Australia. Welcome into the playbook.
Melbourne.
Good morning, John and Eric. How are you guys?
How you doing?
Good morning, Peter. Nice to have you join us today.
Hi. Well, thanks, Red Kirsch, for adding the Australian toll-free number.
Absolutely.
I know, right?
Yep. All right, so I guess we'll get...
What time is it over there anyway?
Probably answering your first question, what I would change in the offseason.
Hold on a second.
Other than Aaron Hernandez.
Well, yeah.
We probably would have been to get either Dumerville or Abraham, just as an extra pass rusher.
Yeah.
Just to complement Chandler Jones, just because, you know, I mean, we're expecting big things out of Chandler Jones, and I think he'll be excellent this year.
Right.
But it's just that, you know, he's still rather inexperienced, and we don't have the Andre Carter type on our team to actually help him.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's what I would change.
All right, I like that.
There's a lot of talk about the safety position and the secondary in general.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my feeling is, you know, it is what it is. We didn't do anything to fix it, and we try to fix it, you know, we kind of make it worse. So, you know, I mean, there's nothing we can address in this offseason. I think we could have changed for that particular thing.
You see why we need? You see why we need now a segment on the program called "It Is What It Is"? Because we all say that, Peter. We all say that, and it's just. It kind of hits. Oh, sure you do. You
no,
think
I
it?
No,
you,
I don't.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
No.
You think it?
No.
Yes, you do.
No.
Yes,
the phrase that I think is that's the way it is, which is the proper phrase.
Well, I know, but it was, you know, Bill
it
Belichick.
Is what it is a bastardized phrase.
I understand that, but it took Bill
properly.
To bastardize it, didn't it?
Yeah, that's why I like to say that's the way it is.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's Mr. Grammatical over here. Sorry, Peter, we digress yet again. Continue, sir.
Yeah, so getting to the win-loss record, the four games I have the Patriots losing to.
All right.
At the Falcons, at the Bengals,
yep.
At the Texans,
mm-hmm.
and at the Dolphins. So 12-4.
Okay.
And
so
the
you
reason why I do this is because
you have them going undefeated at home then. Undefeated at home.
Yeah, because they rarely lose at home. They haven't lost more than two games at home since like 2006.
Yep.
Like even during the Castle year, I think they won two. They went 6-2 at home.
They've lost some playoff games at home though when it counts. That's the problem.
Yeah, well, you know, unfortunately we're not playing Baltimore at home. But I mean, I think we'll beat Denver at home. That's obviously our hardest test and maybe the Saints. But I think we'll beat Denver at home just because Brady has faced the same defense from Denver the past two seasons, in the playoffs and the regular season, and he's shredded them. He's scored, 45 each time or close to that? Or, you know, like against Manning's version of the Broncos last year, he shredded them. Against Tebow twice, he shredded them. I mean, Brady just knows how to play their defense. I mean, you know, if it's going to be a shootout, then, you know, let it be. So, you know, I guess against Denver and the Saints, it'll probably just be a shootout, and I think that we'll just win. I think we'll lose to the Bengals because I think the Bengals are actually going to be really good this year. They're going to just, like, take the jump, and they're going to be like what the Texans were, 2 years ago? Like, just suddenly going from an 8-8 team on the cusp to suddenly becoming a dominant defense.
Okay.
And I think that's what the Bengals are destined to be. I haven't moved to Miami just because, you know, losing at Miami is just kind of the thing we do.
Right.
I mean, Miami's tough. They're young, they're growing, and, you know, playing at Miami, you know, I mean, we have mixed records there. And, you know, the Falcons, I just think we'll beat the Falcons, but we'll probably lose a random game instead. But, you know, I mean, early season, who knows when Gronk comes back, if he's playing, I mean, if Gronk's playing, I think we'll win. If Gronk's not playing, then, you know, we probably won't.
Yep.
So I got 12-4.
All right.
And I'm pretty confident about that.
Well, first of all, very well said, and you have it very well reasoned out. And I think you kind of touched on something right at the end there, Peter, which I think is important for most fans to remember at this stage of the game. Usually, this team manages, and I think this is the way with a lot of teams, even contending teams, you find a way to lose a game that you shouldn't, at least a couple during the course of the year. You stub your toe somewhere, and you probably win one that you don't expect to win. And that has been tougher for the Patriots to come by in the last few years, only because they've been expected to win most of the games that they play. I think you touched on some very important road games. I happen to think that they'll probably stub their toe at least once at home. I don't know that they'll go twice, but I think you certainly have to start with the Denver game as being a likely possibility for a loss. I also, again, I do think that the Patriots will win the division and get into the playoffs that way, but even at 10-6, I'm not entirely sold, that Miami, especially Miami, won't come in here and possibly win a game here, at Gillette. I think it's likely that, that Miami is a loss on the road. I think it's likely that the games that you mentioned are all losses on the road. Saints, Bengals, Falcons. Which would be four for me. I think it's likely that you'll find a divisional loss on the road somewhere else. And since I don't like to sit on the fence and I ask people not to sit on the fence, I'm going to get
that
off.
Hurts.
Yes, it does hurt. I'm going to get off the fence and say Miami will be, the divisional loss on the road there. So that gives five losses, right? And now why am I missing a game? I got to look at the rest of the schedule.
Pull up the schedule for you. Here.
Pull it up.
On my app.
Yeah, but I've got them down with five right there. At any rate, your thoughts are well thought out.
Is it? It's Thursday over there now, right in Melbourne?
It's Thursday morning. It's 4 o'clock in the morning or something.
4 o'clock.
Good
in the morning.
Grief! What are you doing?
5
what are you doing 5 up at 5 a.m.?
5 a.m. Well, I'm up at
I'm
5 a.m.
I get up
too.
To listen to PFW all the time. So you know, I was so devastated yesterday actually when I found out that WEEI was on due to Labor Day. So.
Right.
Yeah, so that was kind of distressing. I got up at 2 o'clock in the morning for nothing.
Oh,
I have one more thing I just want to ask you guys.
Sure.
Yes or no?
Yep.
Tom Brady now has 48 consecutive games of a touchdown pass, and he's actually right the second of all time behind Drew Brees at 54.
Yep.
And if he keeps on getting his streak at game 54, will actually be at the Saints. I just want a simple yes or no. Do you think he gets the record?
Yes.
Yeah, I do.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Why, you don't think he will?
No, I do. I think he'll actually probably go through the whole season without missing a game without a touchdown.
I do, too.
I don't know, maybe against, like, the Texans or something like that. Maybe he'll have a bad game, or if it's raining or something like that. Or maybe it'll be, like, one of those Lions games in the preseason where, you know, it's just not happening to them, or, like, San Francisco last year,
mm-hmm.
or in the first half of San Francisco. So, you know, it could happen. But, you know, I think he'll probably have consecutive
games happen.
Throughout the season. I don't see any particular game where he just won't be able to move the ball or just put in the end zone
right.
at least once.
Yeah, I think he'll get it. Yeah. I do think he'll get it, and I'm sure that's something that we'll continue to talk about as we inch a little bit closer to it. But, yeah, I think he'll probably be there with that in spite of the youthfulness of his wide receiver core. I think by that time you'll also have Gronkowski back in the lineup. That's my early prediction anyway.
All right.
Peter.
Thank you guys for having me on. It's been a pleasure to call you, and it's the first time I called Patriots Radio, and I'm glad to do it.
All well, right. listen,
we'll
I hope
often.
That you, yeah, make
free
sure that
now.
You, yeah, it says it's a free call. Make sure you're picking up the phone as long as you're going to be up in the morning.
Yeah,
and
so, as long as you're up already.
We love to chat with you.
No worries. I'll make it a date. I'll be sure to call, like, Mark Burton.
It's already Prediction Thursday in Melbourne.
That's right. It is Prediction. Yeah, since it's already Prediction Thursday, what do you think about this week's game?
I think it's the fifth preseason game, and
we're
just going to run it down the throat of the Bills because they can't stop the run, and they never have for the past whatever years.
Okay.
So expect a big game from Ridley and Vereen, or maybe Blunt, to maybe 200-yard backs, and Brady will probably only have to throw the ball 15 times and maybe just like maybe try to work in the receivers, but I think it's going to be like the first preseason game where they're just going to run all the time just to take this. Because the Patriots are a game plan team.
Mm. Interesting.
And that's the best game plan against the Bills. It always has been.
Interesting. All right. Thank you, Peter.
All right, Peter.
No worries. All right, thank you, guys.
Interesting.
Yeah, good stuff from down under.
From down under, especially.
All right. I'm going to quickly
schedule,
go through
real
this
quick.
Schedule.
Go through it.
At Buffalo.
Win.
Win. At Jets at home on Thursday night.
Win.
Win. Tampa at home.
Win.
Win. We're 3-0, mm-hmm. both of us.
Mm-hmm.
At Atlanta.
Loss.
Loss. 3-1. At Cincinnati.
Loss.
Lost. We're 3-2, both of us. Saints at home.
Win.
Loss. 3-3.
Okay.
Jets on the road.
Win.
Win. 4-3. Miami at home.
Win.
Win. 5-3.
6-2.
Yep. Pittsburgh at home.
Loss.
Loss. 5-4.
That's 6-3.
Carolina away.
Win.
Win. I have too. But that's a game that I could see in the swap scenario that the last two callers were talking about, you know, a random game mm-hmm. that they lose. I could see that being a game that goes downhill quickly
okay.
for them.
Okay.
But I'm predicting them to win that one.
Okay.
So I have them at now what, 6-4?
I'm at 6-3. You're at 5-4.
5-4.
I think.
Already lost track now.
Yep.
Hold on.
After
hold please.
Pittsburgh,
yeah,
3-3,
Carolina. 4-3, 5-3. 5-4, 6-4.
Oh, 6-4. All right.
Yeah, 6-4.
So I have them 7-3. You have them 6-4.
6-4. All Broncos right. at home.
Loss.
Loss. 6-5.
7-4.
Houston on the road.
Loss.
Loss.
Whoo! That's going to be a brutal part of the schedule right there.
6-6.
Oh, 7-5.
Now the last four games.
They're going to close strong and go 3-1.
Cleveland at home.
Win.
Win. 7-6. And you are still a
yep.
game ahead of me.
Yeah, 8-5.
8-5. Dolphins on the road.
Loss.
Yeah, I'm struggling with this one, but I think they're going to win.
Okay.
So now I have them at 8-6.
So we're now we're both 8-6.
Yeah.
So we're going to say
Baltimore on the road.
We're going to win that. We're going to win it.
You have a win?
Yeah.
I have a loss.
Okay.
8-7.
We're going to win that. We're going to win the Baltimore game. That's the one I think that, you know, end of the year, they know they got to win it. Backs to the wall, got to do it for the division title or whatever it may be.
Okay.
Going to win it.
I have them at
8. Because they're going to stub their toe at Miami,
yeah.
which is going to pull Miami into a tie. That's my scenario. So Miami, they're neck and neck. They've mm-hmm. split head to head. They got to win out. They're mm-hmm. going to win that Baltimore game.
Okay, last one, Buffalo at home.
Win.
Win, too. There's my 9-7.
And that's my 10-6.
So we're pretty consistent.
That's it. But the one game we differ on
yeah.
is the at Baltimore game. But I just think, you know, this team has shown itself with the veterans that they do have on the team. They've shown themselves to be resilient, and they've shown themselves that when they are backed into a corner, they figure a way to fight out of it. That's just my thought. I think this team will grow up enough where they could close with winning three out of the last four and clinch the division title, which in effect will put them in play on wild card weekend, but they'll have a home game here at Gillette.
Yeah, I think so too.
That's what I think will happen.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
Starting and ending with Buffalo, and
yep.
they're both going to be important.
Right. Right. So, but getting off to a 3-0 start.
Yeah.
And then ending up 9-7.
Mm-hmm.
Woo! That means 6-7 the rest of the way.
I know.
Whoa!
The rookie wall is going to hit, and it's going to hit hard.
Because there's so many rookies involved.
So many that they're going to rely on. And that's not a joke. That's a legit thing, that rookie wall. It happens.
Wow.
Ask any player.
Yeah, well, we've seen it time and time again.
That's where I think their Achilles heel is going to be. As good as I think the rookies could be, they're going to struggle against the really, really good teams.
All right, well, the first hour of the program has absolutely flown by.
Yes.
We have not managed to manage to get in a commercial break, and I know we've got some new sponsors that, you know, we'd love for you to acquaint yourselves with again this year, so we're going to pause here. Eric traditionally is with us on Wednesdays and Thursdays in the opening hour of the playbook, and then we spend the second hour of the playbook either visiting with members of the media from the teams the Patriots are playing. On occasion, we visit with members of the national media who cover the NFL. Even on other occasions, we visit with members of the teams, whether it's a coach or a player as well, in the second half hour, or in the second hour of the program. Today, though, we're going to basically spend the time with you because it's our first program of the year. And you spend the time writing and doing other things that you need to be doing for PFW, correct?
Yeah, correct.
All right, so are you going to still follow the same formula this year, largely?
I think so,
okay.
Provided that the media schedule allows us.
Because we do
that
know.
That changed in the second half of last year against our will. will. And
yeah, we do know that from time to time.
Today it worked out. Hopefully it will continue to work out.
Well, that's the game plan anyway. So, Big E, it's good to be back with you.
Yep, very good. And hopefully we'll see you tomorrow.
We'll see you tomorrow will be the game plan. All right, good stuff. Eric Scalavino, again, Patriots Football Weekly, who joined us here in the playbook. All right, let's take this break at the top of the hour here. And obviously, if you missed any of the opening hour of the program, we do have the program immediately up for podcast here on Patriots.com as well. So you can pick up anything that you missed, and the live version will be around at 2 o'clock Eastern time tomorrow again for our next edition. But we do have another hour of the program, or 52 minutes or so left to go. So here's how you reach us again, 508-298-0398. That's the local telephone number here in Foxborough, Massachusetts, 508-298-0398. Toll free, brand new, woohoo, for this season. Toll free from anywhere you are listening, 855-PATS-500. 855-PATS-500. If you're out of the country, look on the homepage of Patriots.com radio and you'll get your country code and then you can plug it right in. 855-PATS-500, the toll-free telephone number. Web radio at Patriots.com, the email address at JR Broadcaster on Twitter. John.Rook, R-O-O-K-E on Facebook. Ready, set, go.
You know that celebration dance? The I just got a heck of a deal on awesome entertainment, so let's dance, dance? You probably haven't done it in a while, so here's a reason to. Now until September 3rd, when you sign up for 100% fiber optic Verizon Fios, you can take your entertainment to the next level with America's fastest, most reliable internet. Switch to a Fios Triple Play online for just $79.99 a month for 12 months and get your choice of a $300 Amazon.com gift card or a $300 Visa prepaid card with a 2-year agreement. Plus, get a high-speed wireless router at no additional charge. You won't get that with cable. And that's an entertainment deal worth dancing about. So hurry. This great summer deal ends September 3rd. Visit gottogetfios.com and upgrade today. Technology that makes life more entertaining. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by MetaBank, member FDIC. Amazon.com is not a sponsor of this promotion. Restrictions apply. Fios available in select areas. Offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a 2-year agreement and ends 9/3/13. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply. Visit Verizon.com/Amazon for details.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only 4-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
With power comes responsibility, and NRG has taken that responsibility to new heights by evolving the way sustainable energy is discussed and used in the 21st century. With 3,000 state-of-the-art solar panels installed at Patriot Place, we've transformed the open-air retail complex next to Gillette Stadium into a visually stunning, self-sustaining destination that generates 60% of its own power. NRG is proud to be the official energy provider for Patriot Place, Gillette Stadium, and the New England Revolution.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder wait list and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit Patriots.com/the list to join today.
The word off-season doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
Now is your chance to hit up John Rook inside the Patriots playbook on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Call 508-298-0398. That's 508-298-0398. Now, back to your host, John Rook.
Hour number two of the inaugural edition of Patriots Playbook on Patriots.com Radio for 2013. I'm John Rook. Very glad to have you aboard. If you're, again, new to the program, we welcome you into the program. Glad you're sampling. We hope that you'll be with us throughout the course of the NFL season as we hear from the start of the regular season, which, of course, is week one, and the Buffalo Bills on the road in Buffalo coming up this Sunday for the Patriots. And we'll be here right until the very last game is played, whether that is regular season or postseason. Couple of things that we're doing today, if you've just joined us today. Number one, want you to look back since the last time our program was here with you, which was the Tuesday immediately following the AFC Championship game loss to Baltimore. And I want you to change one thing that's happened since then, as best as you can. And I know that there are some things that are obviously, well, for lack of a better phrase, obvious, that we'd all like to change. But, you know, looking at it from a pure football sense, what would you do differently? If you had a do-over, what would it be since then? This includes the offseason, includes the preseason, includes the exhibition part of the slate, training camp, OTAs, whatever it may be. What would you do over again? All right, that's number one. And number two, take a look at the schedule, and we're going to pick them. And I want you to play pick them today. And not so much every win and every loss, but just tell me which games this Patriots team will be losing in 2013. Which games will they lose? And why, if you have the time to do that? For instance, Chris sends me this email. It doesn't say where he's from, so Chris, I wish you'd tell me where you're writing from. But Chris sends me this email. He says, you guys have us losing to every single good team that we play. Do you really have that little confidence in the team? That is absolute garbage. 9-7? Are you serious? We will be at least 11-5. Okay. Well, Chris, first of all, since we don't know where you're writing from, it's a little hard for me to get a perspective here, but that's okay. Make sure you're letting us know where you're calling from or writing from or tweeting from or wherever, because sometimes it helps a little perspective, especially if you're like, you know, I don't know, tweeting from New York and you're a Jets fan, which is fine because you're welcome here. Everybody's welcome here. We don't play favorites. You know, all opinions are good, just like everybody has a belly button, everybody has opinion. You know, they're all different. So here we go. And I know that saying usually goes differently, but like I said, I try to keep this as clean as possible around here. think of the difference, though. You're saying at least 11-5. Eric went 11. He went 9-7. I went 10-6. Not a whole lot of difference. We're talking about maybe one bounce of the football between 11-5 and 10-6. Literally, one bounce of the football is all it takes to change that. And it would be in a positive sense for you and in a negative sense for me. I'm also thinking that this team is very capable of doing at least 12-4, if not 13-3. I think 13-3 may be stretching it. But I think the general consensus from a lot of the national followers and observers seems to be 12-4. For this New England team. And it's hard for me to disagree with that. Although I don't think they'll go there. And the reason I don't think they'll go there is A, I think they'll stub their toe against a team that they probably shouldn't. And, you know, whether or not you think that's the home game with New Orleans or you think the road game at Miami, okay. But I, you know, again, with the relative inexperience, and this is the one overriding factor I think that is most important here, with the relative inexperience that this team has, and this is very un-Bill Belichickian, I think, as you guys all know. He does not, I mean, what was it, just 2 years ago, we only had 4 rookies on this team. This year, we've got 14, and if you count the practice squad, as Eric mentioned in the opening hour, 20. One out of every 3 guys that can call himself a New England Patriot in 2013, right now, is a first-year player. That's significant. And rookies usually hit the wall around mid-season because, frankly, from the time the year starts, training camp and preseason and halfway through the season, their college seasons are over. That's about how much football they play. Then you got to grind it out. Okay, so let's say, Chris, let's just say that they manage to grind it out. Let's say that they don't hit that wall. All right, what do you do about injuries? You have to factor in injuries. How good are you feeling about your 11-5 if, God forbid, Tom Brady gets hurt? What if Rob Gronkowski goes down once he goes back in? What if he goes down with a bum arm or a bad back again? Or, I don't know, maybe Shane Vereen gets hurt, or maybe Stephen Ridley gets hurt, or maybe LeGarrette Blount gets hurt. And you have a huge cog of your running game. They're already thin on the offensive line. What happens if somebody gets hurt? What if Logan Mankins re-injures his knee? I'm just saying these are all plausible scenarios over the course of a 17-week regular season when you count the bye week. And you're not allowing for any of that. And all Eric and I are doing here are simply allowing for what we think are plausible reasons as to why this team will not finish as highly as you may think they will. That's it. That's all we're doing. We're trying to factor in the X factor, which is extremely difficult to do. See, it's easy for us to sit here and say, oh, the Patriots will go 12-4. And frankly, as I look at the schedule, that's what I thought. That was when I first saw the schedule and the dates come out and the way the teams were lined up and they were playing this team at home and this team on the road. When I first saw the schedule, I did just like you. I went up and down the schedule, and I said, win, 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 loss, loss, win, loss. I did all of that, and I came out at 12-4. I have adjusted to 10-6 with the capability, as I've already said here, of going 12-4. But I adjusted to 10-6 for 2 very big reasons. Number one, their inexperience on offense specifically. That doesn't mean that by the time the year is over that Kenbrell Tompkins might not turn out to be the steal of the NFL draft. He could be. I think he, you know, Brady's going to target him a lot because he really likes him. And I saw Kenbrell Tompkins play, you know, his, you know, years at the University of Cincinnati when I was covering Big East football. And I always thought that he was a dynamite player. I always wondered why Cincinnati never tried to get the ball to him in his hands more often, because I thought he had great hands and solid athletic ability. And then the guy goes undrafted in April, and the Patriots pick him up out of the free agent pile, and he turns out to be every bit as good as some of the guys who were drafted at that position. So Kenbrell Tompkins is a find. Kudos to the scouting staff of the Patriots for picking him up, signing him, getting him in camp, and getting him working, because he's got talent. Could have told you that before the year started. I also, by the way, like George Wynn, who they cut, Was the rookie free agent running back, also from the University of Cincinnati. I liked him. He just got involved in a numbers game. I'll be stunned if he didn't get picked up by somebody somewhere. He may already have. Some of you may know that. I don't, because I kind of focus on the Patriots, and I lose track of some of the guys that, you know, fall off. One of the things that I do really like about Mike Reese, who I know many of you are aware of, covers the Patriots beat for ESPNBoston.com. And one of the things that I like that he and Field Yates and previously Mike Rodak, who now is the ESPN reporter for Buffalo, but what they've done in the past is they actually do a good job of keeping up with former Patriots or former players who were in the Patriots camp and what they're doing now. They do a good job with that. And so I, like you, will be keeping up with some of that throughout the course of this season, especially since you never know when somebody gets thrown out on the scrap heap again and the Patriots need some help. And anytime there's familiarity involved, that's a player that you can figure into the equation that the Patriots would have on their short list in case they need help. Every team in the NFL will need help before this year is over. So this will speak to the Patriots' depth, and it'll speak to their ability to bring in quote-unquote street free agents that might have some familiarity with the organization, if not the team, in actuality this year. There's not a lot of difference between the 11-5 you think, Chris, and the 9-7 or 10-6 that Eric and I are thinking about. Not a lot of difference. All you're counting on is maybe one positive bounce of the football going your way as opposed to what we think. Not a lot of difference.
By the way, Mike Rodak, 3:30 tomorrow.
Excellent. So Mike Rodak will join us tomorrow. He covers the Buffalo Bills now for ESPN. He is the, you know, ESPN kind of changed things up in the offseason, and they now have a beat reporter assigned to every NFL team, all 32 NFL teams. Mike Reese is that guy for the Patriots. Mike Rodak, who worked for ESPNBoston.com and assisted on the Patriots coverage for ESPNBoston.com, was hired in the offseason to go from the Patriots to the Buffalo Bills. And so now he is the primary. He's the Mike Reese of Buffalo, for lack of a better phrase. Mike's a great kid. He's a young kid. He's a recent graduate of Providence College, huge Friar fan. For those of you that don't know, I'm 25 years as the play-by-play voice of Providence College. So what I do during the basketball season. And but Mike's an astute football aficionado as well. In fact, I think today, Kev, I think today was his SportsCenter debut, if I'm not mistaken.
I think so as well. I congratulated him on that as well.
Yes. He appeared on SportsCenter earlier this afternoon because of the fact the Bills are starting. They've announced that E.J. Manuel will start at quarterback this
week.
So
all of a sudden, he's going to turn into one of those guys like Mortar Schefter.
Yeah.
Where he'll have to
plan his
radio hits based on his TV schedule.
He is going to be the Adam Schefter of Buffalo. That's the guy. So anytime big news happens in Buffalo on ESPN, there's going to be a phoner or a live report with Mike Rodak.
I was busting his chops saying, can you squeeze us in between all these TV hits you're doing there?
Yeah. And you know what? I give the kid a lot of credit. He does his homework. He really follows the team closely. And it's good to have some. And I'm sure that one of the reasons he got the job is because he had real familiarity with the AFC East because of his time working at ESPN Boston. So at any rate, Mike Rodak will join us on the program tomorrow at 3:30. And those of you that know, have some familiarity with the playbook, know that traditionally on Thursdays every year, the one and only football guru himself, Russell Baxter, joins us on Thursdays. And that will be the case again this year, I'm very happy to say. Russell S. Baxter will join us on Thursdays as well, starting tomorrow here in the playbook. And we'll give him a more suitable opening tomorrow. But Russell and I met back in the late 90s when I was still working at ESPN. And he was at the time, and was for parts of three decades, the one person in that building, which is now over 4,000 employees still, but the one person in that building whose sole job 365 days a year was to cover the NFL. How about that? And that's what he did. And then he got caught in a little cut down at ESPN. What's it been now? I think 2 years ago, 3 years ago now. So he's broken out on his own. ProFootballGuru.com is his website now, and he's been able to monetize that somewhat. And he writes for Bleacher Report and does his own thing on ProFootballGuru.com. And you know, his Twitter handle @BaxFootballGuru. I think a lot of you probably follow him already. But anyway, the guy knows more than you and I will ever forget about present day NFL. And he's a huge Patriot, you know, follower as well. and he joined us on Thursdays here in the Playbook to not only talk Patriots, but to kind of take a look around the league. And we pick some key matchups, some big matchups, some marquee matchups around the league, and we'll sort of dissect and analyze those, as well as the Patriot game every week. And we'll look at, you know, not only future Patriots opponents, but also divisional rivals as well, and what they'll be doing every week. So we really dive in depth with Russell, and he'll be back on Thursdays, and he'll be a part of tomorrow's show as well. So it'll be a dynamite program for you tomorrow. So you want to tune in for that. Now, back to some other good stuff here. Let me see what I have here. First of all, I got to make sure that we take a time here to catch up on all the various forms of social media. Email. This one comes from Mo, who says, I think you're underestimating the impact of Gronk after the third game. If they are 3-0 and Gronk comes in, I don't see them losing to Miami or even Pittsburgh. Of course, if Gronk or Brady goes down, then it's survival mode. He says he's on my boat working on the Chesapeake Bay near Annapolis. All right. Thank you, Mo, for the 2 cents. You make a good point. If they go 3-0 and Gronk isn't already a part of it and he does come in for the first time, then I'd say, yeah, they certainly have an opportunity against Miami. I'm picking games. It could very well be they start 4-0, but they lose a game later in the year that you think they might win. And it could happen because Gronk or Brady or somebody else goes down. The whole point of the conversation today here is that injuries kill. And there's just no way around it. Teams never like to use injuries as an excuse, and they're not. They really aren't. But you know what? They really are. Because with 53 players on your roster, and only 45 on game day now, keep in mind, okay? But with 53 players on your roster, injuries are a factor. Nobody has depth. Nobody has real depth. The teams that have the most depth are usually the teams that have the most success. Coupled with, and the reason that teams have the most depth a lot of times are because they're the teams that are hurt the least by what? Altogether now, injuries. So, they are a factor. Whether you want to admit it or not, you try not to use injuries as an excuse because, you know, one guy gets hurt, you've always got somebody else that's going to come in and play, and it's up to that person to come in and do the job. But there's a reason why the person who has to come in and do the job isn't in there in the first place. And that reason is he's not as well suited to doing the job as the guy who played before him who got hurt. That's just the way it is. First team, second team, third team. If you're a first teamer, you know it. If you're a second teamer, you're trying hard to get the first team, but you're not quite there. If you're a rookie on your job at work, you might be not quite handling the kind of load that you think you're capable of. Why? Because you're new. And because there might be, just might be somebody who's been there longer and does your job better than you. So it's up to you to get up to speed. And that's what this is all about, getting up to speed. And the teams that get up to speed more quickly than others are the ones that are going to have long-term success. That's what I think. What do you think? All right, this one comes in from Mike in Norfolk, Mass. You expect the Pats to lose to Pitt with that offensive line and their losses at receiver and running back? Who exactly is going to beat our defense from that team? Add the fact that Bill and Tom have consistently owned Dick LeBeau over the years. I don't really fear that team. Just a hunch. Honestly, I'll dive more into it, Mike, when we get closer to Pittsburgh. And I will allow that between now and Pittsburgh game week, I actually might change my mind. Because, you know, again, if you follow this program, this year, I mean, what if Pittsburgh has a significant injury that changes the fortunes of their team? The year changes. I'm saying 10-6 to start. I might say, you know, if they get to be 10-0, I don't think they're going to go 10-6 anymore. Okay? That's all I'm saying. It's a work in progress. You want a snapshot of the season as a whole, as I see it right now on September the 4th, 2013. And I'm giving that to you. And Eric Scalavino has given that to you. That's it. That's all it is. Nothing more, nothing less. Doesn't mean we're experts. Doesn't mean we necessarily know more than anybody else. Based on our knowledge of the team as we covered the team throughout the preseason, throughout the offseason, and Eric obviously does it as thoroughly as anybody because of his duties for PFW, then we're making an educated decision based on our experiences and our observations. That's all they are. You are entitled to your opinion as well based on your own observations and what you've read and what you've seen and what you've probably talked about with your own fellow fans. And you might be right. Mike says, the other challenging games, namely the Texans, Ravens, Falcons, Saints, Broncos, Bengals, occur after a three-game extended preseason schedule, which will allow our receivers and Gronk to get up to speed, cut their teeth in real game scenarios. Amendola showed me enough to convince me he can adequately fill Welker's shoes, and Tompkins' ability to get quick separation off the line makes him an immediate upgrade to Branch and Lloyd. I've got to see that before I can say that is going to happen with Tompkins. Finally, Dobson gives us the size at receiver and high point attack skills, which we've lacked since Moss left. Okay, that's true, Mike. That's true. But again, until we can actually see Aaron Dobson do that. And by the way, I love Aaron Dobson's athleticism. He's a big dude. He can go get it. I don't think Aaron Dobson is aggressive enough going to the football. And maybe that's just because he's a rookie and he's still trying to feel his way around. I don't know, but based on what I've seen, and usually rookies go all out in preseason, I didn't see that aggressiveness that I was hoping to see out of him. I did see that with Kendrell Tompkins. That's why Tompkins made the team as a free agent rookie. And I've seen that for the previous 3 years that he was at the University of Cincinnati, and I was covering his games. So I'm not surprised that Tompkins made the team. Mike says, therefore, I am far from pessimistic about our chances this year. I don't think we'll lose back-to-back games, should handily win our division. I think we'll stumble against the Bengals, but I believe Brady will be enough to overcome Dalton. Peyton Manning will never beat Brady again in his career, especially not in Foxborough, and Matt Schaub disappears nearly every big game he ever plays. Texans defense hasn't improved this offseason. We had no problem decimating them last season. Well, but we don't have quite the same team on offense as we had last year either. Unless, of course, Mike, you think we're considerably better on offense in New England than we were a year ago. He says, I therefore see the losses shaking out at Falcons, Saints at home, at Baltimore, who always have our number. If Brady goes down, that all changes. I could also be convinced we could lose one of the Dolphin games, although Tannehill has never impressed me as a quarterback. So it looks like, Mike, you say 13-3. You have them with three losses. Okay. Like it. Good stuff. Jason in Maine says, I wanted to give my input to the programming changes you discussed on PFW in Progress. All right, I didn't specifically discuss that, but I'm sure that that has been discussed. He says, I don't mind if PFW swaps with Playbook, but do it for the whole week, not just on Wednesdays. Was somebody going to tell me this, Kev, that we're going to switch time slots? Or is this
no,
just...
No, we're not going to... It's not final yet.
Okay.
Fred was throwing the idea out today to see what people thought, if they keep the current media schedule the way it is.
Ah, that's right, because...
He was kind of brainstorming out loud because media open locker room...
Open locker room time sometimes keeps these guys from doing their best show.
If they keep putting open locker room at, say, 12:30 or 1, it makes it really hard.
Makes it hard. So Mayberry will be where we kind of hold the fort down until the interviews are over, because they have to be listening and talking to these guys for Patriots Football Weekly.
Yeah, they also film like segments for their TV show during that open locker room as well.
Right. Okay.
So Fred was just kind of spitballing and throwing it out there to the listeners and soliciting input.
Okay. Good to know then. Also be nice to know if I'm needed at a different time. Brian sends this from Aspen, Colorado. Hello, Brian. Says, my stab of the team's record. He's got his losses at Bengals, Saints, Steelers, Browns? Woo. Wow. Browns? Really? So you got them 12-4 then, Brian. He says, Patriots continue to struggle against the AFC North. Really? Okay. Thanks for playing our game. Josh from Charlottesville, Virginia. John, it's great you're finally back on the air this year. I've missed your show. Anyway, I don't see the Pats making it past the Saints, Falcons, or Broncos. Saints offense simply too high octane. Like the Falcons, I don't think our CBs can cover such monstrous receivers with the likes of Breeze and Ryan feeding them the ball. If the pass rush steps up, we may have a shot. I do believe in Chandler Jones. I don't see it happening, though. The Broncos, of course, are loaded with firepower. I think Demaryius Thomas is ready to make that jump to an elite group of receivers. The AFC North is a shadow of its former self, with the exception of the Bengals, maybe the Ravens. That I would agree with. This weekend worries me only because the Bills were among the top of the league in covering tight ends. I like Sudfeld, would really hate to see him get hurt before Gronk's return. But all in all, I think we have this one in the bag, and it should be a great one to watch. Glad you're back. Keep up the good work. Thank you, Josh from Seville. All right, so he has losses with Saints, Falcons, Broncos. So I guess that would probably put him at 13-3 overall as well. All right, Dan the Bye Man. Let's see what we got here. Hard to predict since many teams are different now, like the Ravens. I think they will lose to the Bengals, the Panthers, and the away game against the Dolphins. I do think their schedule is relatively easier outside of the division, but I don't see us going far in the playoffs, mainly because I worry about our offensive line at key moments. Not tough. But only three losses, that means 13-3 again. It's an extraordinarily good schedule. Chris in Auburn, California says, I see the Pats going 12-4, losing to the Saints, Falcons, Dolphins, and wait for it, the Browns. Second person to say that they're going to lose to the Browns. We always lose to a team that we should absolutely not lose to, like Arizona last year. All right, that is a good example, I would say, right there. Nick in Victoria, British Columbia. Welcome, Nick. My nitpick is the rushing back of Gronk from his broken arm. It has bled all the way into the first few weeks of this season. You know, that's a good one, Nick. Nick with the nitpick. That's a good one. I would say that while I mentioned earlier, as far as a nitpick, a do-over that I would have from the offseason, Adrian Wilson is the biggest disappointment. I wish they had prepared better for that, but I think they clearly felt like Wilson still had some thump left in his thumper, and he didn't. And he showed that throughout the course of training camp and the preseason, and I think they IR'd him. And I think I heard Andy say this during PFW in Progress earlier today, but I would tend to agree. I think they kept him around because he's a veteran guy. They certainly wouldn't mind having his presence in the locker room because with such a young team as this Patriots team is, this is as young as they've been in a long time, that I think they could use some of that, you know, all right, this is how you got to do it, guys. And even though he hasn't really been a veteran presence on this team, any veteran presence of how you have to go about doing your business day in and day out, to me, is welcomed. And I think they probably did him a favor. They're going to give him a paycheck. May end up seeing sort of an injury settlement type thing. Who knows? But that's why they kind of kept him around. And I think they, too, were disappointed in that that's what they got out of Adrian Wilson. So that's a disappointment. But rushing Gronk back, I think you can legitimately say that that was a factor. He rushed it back. Now, the back injury, you know, I realize that he wasn't able to get surgery in his back until the other issue with his arm had healed up, and he did have a complication which led to the second surgery on his arm in the offseason because he had to clear up an infection. So I guess I get that, and I understand why they had to delay, because you can't really go in, you know, without knowing a lot of the medical terminology here, you can't really go in and operate on a guy when you're still recovering from, you know, an injury like that that, you know, has an infection, and you had to make sure that was cleared up before you undergo the knife again. I just wonder why, and wonder if maybe they could have done something differently with the arm in an effort to prevent the second surgery from happening, and maybe something was done internally to the arm that caused the infection. I don't know. And again, I'm not a doctor and I don't play one on the radio, but I just kind of sense that just something wasn't right there. So it's hard for me to say that, you know, the back surgery, you know, it didn't cause the fact that Gronk's out now. It was really the second arm surgery. And the second arm surgery was predicated because, quite frankly, they may have rushed him back too soon. They always say, and will always say, he's ready to play when he's ready to play. You hear that, right? He's ready to play when he's ready to play. Problem with that is, though, is that is he really ready to play? Kev, do we have his locker room stuff from earlier today? All right. Want you to hear from Rob Gronkowski himself. This is how he sounded today. And let me preface this by saying, because this was him in the locker room just a short while ago. Let me preface this by saying, how much like Bill Belichick does he now sound like? We're going to keep count as he goes along. You keep count as well.
So how are you feeling up there?
Pretty good. Feeling good.
You feel like you could go now, or what are your thoughts on when you will be ready?
When I'll be ready. Right now, we just take it day by day. And improving a lot. Been improving since last week. Been improving since 3 weeks ago. And the only thing I can ask out of myself. The coaches ask out of me. The trainers ask out of me. It's just to take every day at a time and just to improve every day and just focus on that day to get better.
What would you say your percentage is? Where are you right now?
I really don't have a percentage. I don't really think about percentages like that where my body's at. The only thing I'm really focused on is improving every day. And if I'm improving every day, then I'm moving in the right direction. And that's all you can ask for, moving in the right direction at all times and improving every day to get better. And it's just fun being back out there. Putting the pads on, just having them on, man, makes me happy again. I love this game. Definitely miss the game of football, just going out there and practicing with my teammates, and miss doing the grind with my teammates, miss being out there with the coaches, everything. So it's just awesome to be back out there and with the team and focusing on and getting things done.
In terms of putting your pads on this week, do you feel like your progress is pretty good?
Yes, making progress every week, and getting out there is another step forward. And just got to take positive steps forward and keep it reevaluate every single day to where I am.
How difficult have the last 4 or 5 months been, just kind of mentally knowing how many, you know, what you've gone through and knowing what kind of rehab you have to go through?
Yeah, I mean, it was difficult, but I'm past that all. And today, today's a new day, and the only thing I can do is look forward. I mean, I'm not thinking about the past anymore. That's all in the past, and the only thing I can do now is improve on getting back out there.
Have you had any setbacks since training camp opened in July?
Nope, just been progressing every day, moving forward, and that's what I plan on doing every day, taking every step.
It's encouraging it to not have any setbacks.
It's good. I mean, that's the whole plan, and about listening to the trainers, listening to the coaches, and taking it day by day to where we make progress every day.
So you plan the surgery? It takes about 10 weeks to heal. If there's been no setbacks, 10 weeks would be this weekend.
It doesn't matter about what that says. It just matters about how your body feels, how the rehab program's going, and how you're progressing every day. So just look forward every day, and I'm not counting by since when my surgery was that day. I'm coming back now. I don't work like that. The trainers don't work like that, and we just work going day by day.
Well, being such a competitor, what was this last year like for you with all these injuries?
It's all in the past now. I mean, I don't really want to get to that where all the last year, how I felt and everything, that doesn't matter anymore. It's irrelevant now. And the only thing relevant is moving forward and getting better every day and progressing.
With all the surgeries that you've had, though, are you pleasantly surprised that you are where you are at this stage?
No, not at all. I mean, it just takes hard work, dedication, and listening to your trainers, listening to your coaches, and that's all I can ask out of myself. That's all the trainers can ask out of me. That's all the coaches. That's all the teammates can ask out of me is just give what I have for that day and progress every day.
Are there any activities or movements that you're a little more wary of?
No. I mean, that's the whole point of the rehab system. Progressing from the following weeks, obviously, I'm doing way more things than I was 6 weeks ago. And that's why it's a whole process of rehab and just moving forward and taking it day by day and doing more every day. So it's going along. It's coming along well, and just got to keep progressing.
With the trainers every day and just say, oh, I'm feeling good, better, you know, all right, let me do more?
I mean, we collaborate as a team and how I'm feeling that day and how my body's reacting. And every week we step it up a notch, obviously. And that's all you can ask for.
How much have you prepared yourself physically for this season as you have in other seasons, given the things you've had to deal with, you know, being in the weight room and stuff like that? Do you feel as physically prepared?
Do I feel physically prepared? I mean, that's kind of obvious answer. I mean, I couldn't really do what I usually do all off season, but that's what this time is for right now, and just progressing and working hard right now to my max of my ability that I can, and in order to get back out there. And it just takes hard work, dedication, and keep on grinding in order to have that to happen.
Gronk, obviously the tight end core has changed quite a bit since last season.
your thoughts on the new core. No Aaron here, obviously. What are your thoughts on the new group of receivers around you?
They're all hard workers. Then they're great guys, and they listen to the coaches and the teammates. So it's glad to see them out there, and I'm glad to be out there with them and practicing with them now. So it's cool, and it's a good feeling.
You've been...
My fingers are getting tired.
You've been Belichicked, is all I can say. It is what it is. No more Yo Soy Fiesta. Rob Gronkowski has been Belichicked. That was more than 30 cliches. More than 30. I believe the count was 35, Kev. 35 times.
We weren't even done yet. It still went on for
another another minute and a half or so, but I said, that's enough. I think we've made our point. And he didn't say anything else. I think we'd have spent the entire last minute of the interview playing the dinger because it sounded just like Belichick. So, you know, as much as we all loved Rob Gronkowski's enthusiasm, natural enthusiasm for the game and his big kid attitude and kind of knuckleheadedness that he's had. And, you know, we loved Gronk because he was Gronk. Hey, he didn't get the nickname Gronk because he was a normal bookworm. He got the nickname Gronk because he's a big, lovable lug knucklehead. And we loved his, you know, hey, Yo Soy Fiesta attitude, right? And that's gone. Like I said, Rob Gronkowski has been Belichicked. I think we need to play a funeral dirge or something here, you know? Almost. I mean, wow. So anyway, I did want to stress, however, that now that he is on his way back, that will certainly be a huge factor in how well the Patriots may be able to, you know, last through the long haul of this season. If he's able to continue to come back and play and not miss any more time than early in the year, that's a significant factor in the favor of the Patriots in terms of being better than, oh, I don't know, a 9 or 10 or even an 11-win team. That could put them in the elite of the AFC, around 12 or 13 wins. And 12 wins probably will have them in the running again, as it always does, usually. Probably have them in the running again for an opening round bye in the playoffs. If you can get to 12. Don't know if they'll get there for the reasons stated beforehand. All right, our friend Dagmar in Miami says, John, Eric, Kevin, good to have the program back for a new season. Always appreciate the time you guys dedicate to the fans by putting together all the information about the team and, most importantly, sharing it with us. Yeah, many of off-the-field things have taken place, but honestly, it is what it is. This is why we need to have a new segment, Kev.
It is what it is.
Regarding the team, I would say that I'm looking forward to seeing what the addition of Blount brings to the regular season table. I really love the fact that they brought him on board and also that he has shown he can work in the system. Also looking forward to seeing Hightower and Jones improve, as well as regular contributions from Tompkins and crazy glue hands Dobson. All right, good stuff, Dagmar. Melvin from Tennessee. I'm so glad you're back. It's been a while. I'm in this boring class and cannot call now, but I will call you as soon as I can. Thank you, Melvin. Always good to hear from Melvin in Tennessee. He's one of our regular callers to the program over the last couple of years. Scott, Milford, Mass. I see. Okay. All right. We'll deal with that at another time. Thank you, Scott, for the sentiments, though. I appreciate that. Let's see what else we have here. This one comes from Pete in Augusta, Maine. Welcome back, John. I like our chances this year. Again, the playoffs will be the test. We'll see where we're at come that point. Big thing the Patriots need to overcome is pass protection in the playoffs against teams like the Giants. John, tell me what your gut tells you. You think with the additions and subtractions we have made, our team is competitive as last year, more or less? I think we're competitive. I think our record will be 13-3. Well, I think by and large, Pete, I'd have to say that less. I think this team will still be competitive. I think competitive is sort of a relative term. I just don't know that with the current makeup of the team being younger as it is, that it will be able to win the big games against the better opponents on their schedule. Competitive? Sure. I don't think anybody's going to blow them out. I still think the Patriots are probably they're still a playoff team, which makes them one of the top eight teams in the National Football League, or one of the top 12 teams in the NFL. As a division winner, that would conceivably make them a top six team. So, or you know, top eight team rather. So, yeah, I keep forgetting what era are we in here? Four divisions in each league, right? So, I think that they're certainly a top team. I think you could legitimately put them second or third in the AFC. That may not translate into 12 or 13 wins. It'd be a little bit more, a little bit less, depending on how healthy they remain. Because with so much youth on the roster, depth is going to be muy importante. Very important, right? And because of that, if you're able to maintain a level of depth above and beyond what your opponents are keeping, that should make you better. That's going to be the key to success this year. How healthy can these guys stay? And how well does the young develop that is healthy? How well does it develop on down the line? How healthy does it stay? You know, I banged on Rashad Dowling for a couple of years now since the Patriots made a huge mistake and took him with the first pick of the second round of the NFL draft a couple of years ago. He looked like he had the physical tools to play. Big, strong, rangy kid, had some speed, good footwork, could be one of those great big corners that everybody seems to be going after, like, you know, the Seattle Seahawks have now certainly made popular. But he could not ever stay healthy. He did not ever understand that sometimes there's a difference between hurt and injured, and I don't think Rashad Dowling ever got that. He didn't know how to play hurt. You can't play injured. You can't. You shouldn't play injured. I'm not convinced he was injured. Excuse me. I'm not convinced he was injured. I'm convinced he was hurt. But he couldn't play it long enough to stay out on the field and do what we all thought he could do. Therefore, he never became a factor. And the Patriots finally had to cut him and declare that pick a bust. And it is a bust. Because he's no longer with the team. But that's the kind of guy that you have when you throw rookies in there. You've got, you know, feast or famine. You got, you know, a big timer or a bust. There's very little middle ground until a player has a chance to prove himself, and he never did. So what do we have? With 14 first-year players on the roster right now, on the active roster, what do we have? Do we have Rashad Dowlings, or do we have Chandler Joneses, who certainly showed promise but also spent some time hurt last year, or do we have Jerod Mayos? What do we have? We don't know. And that's why, you know, I've come off of where I think this team should be at about 12-4 to 10-6. We don't know. And again, I'm just trying to look at it analytically. You can certainly disagree. You can certainly have more faith, if you will, than I have. But that's why I'm here, to try to break it down and throw out the possibility. My friend Tim in Kamloops, British Columbia, good friend, good Facebook friend. If a rookie hasn't beaten out a second or third year player, isn't that a good thing? BB makes the choices he does to make the team stronger. Counting practice squad is an attempt to validate a weak point. To think this team will do worse because of promising-looking rookies than it did with Castle under center is preposterous, and the running game is considerably better than it was with Maroney dancing with the rock. Not proven yet, Tim. You know, not proven. You can't really go by what you saw in the preseason. The preseason is ridiculous. It's not even real football, I would argue. 12-4, he says the losses are the Falcons, Saints, Broncos, Texans. One change, I would have liked to see them keep Wes. I like Amendola as a player, but a question is durability. Welker's toughness was taken for granted, not to mention he went to potentially the top team in the AFC. And P.S., if PFW wants to swap time slots, they should do it Thursdays, so we don't have to listen to those chuckleheads making their picks for the first 20 minutes of the playbook. It's actually a good point by you, Tim. 2:20 is about the time we get on the air on Thursdays, right? All right. Good stuff, and I actually I love your change. I love your nitpick from the offseason, and obviously that was the one I actually thought would probably end up first, is that, oh, we got to keep Welker. And you're the first person to bring that up, Tim. So thank you for that. That's an excellent point. What else did I miss? Did I miss one more here? Where I got to go back here. Hold on a second. See, the problem with keeping up with all this media is sometimes it pops up almost in an instantaneous note. Okay. There, caught up. All right. So we've got a couple of minutes left in the program. I'm glad to be back. I'm very happy to be back broadcasting here on this program for a 13th season. Hopefully you'll enjoy it as much as I do talking football, you know, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays right here on Patriots.com radio with you. Obviously on Mondays and Fridays here on the website, we simulcast Patriots Monday and Patriots Friday with WEEI in Boston. And then we do our own thing. You know, fantasy football comes up immediately following the show. You got PFW in progress, which, you know, leads off, you know, the week, at noon Eastern time. And then I'm here every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 2 until 4 o'clock Eastern time. If you miss a live portion of the show, if you can't be here live, I realize things do get in the way. Damn it. I don't know why they do, but they do. But if it does get in the way and you don't want to miss a show, we do have, the replay a little bit later on in the evening. Here on the website, and you can always listen to it in podcast form later as well, so you can catch up on all the good stuff, because I'd hate for you to miss. We do get some great guests on this program. Kevin put together a great promo a year or so ago with, you know, a mix of some of the guests that we've had on the program, and I don't know if we can ever reprise that or not, but we've had some unbelievable guests that we'll continue to get for you. Tomorrow on the Thursday portion of the program, we'll start it off with certainly Russell S. Baxter, the pro football guru from ProFootballGuru.com himself, and then Mike Rodak, who is the ESPN beat reporter for the Buffalo Bills.
You'll be busy. You'll have Eric the first hour.
And Eric and
probably
the first hour,
fresh
right?
out of the locker room.
Right.
And then you'll have Russell and Mike in the second hour.
Absolutely.
And get you ready for the game on Sunday. Real football.
And traditionally on Thursdays, we ask you to predict the score, so I'll be looking for score predictions from you tomorrow. Kevin, we still need to. This is a contest that we did last year, and we did not have anybody Nobody won it. So I want to bring it back this year. You probably want to clear it with Fred first to be sure. But,
yeah, that's fine.
What we'd like to do on Thursdays is predict the score. If you predict the exact score of the game here on this program on Thursdays, we'll send you a Patriots yearbook, same one used by the media, all right, the media guide, if you will. We'll send you a free copy of the yearbook, the media guide, if you can predict the exact score. So that's what we'll do on Thursdays throughout the course of the year on the playbook. We'll give you a chance to win some prizes throughout the course of the year. Hey, when we get to bye week, we'll do game show Wednesday or game show Thursday. We'll have some fun, just like we always do. And that's what we try to bring to this program. We do deal with the Patriots. We try to deal with, you know, football issues on the field. We do try to have some fun along the way. We will deal with other, you know, topical issues from around the National Football League as well. Anything that may be topical, anything that may be of a breaking nature, news-wise, we'll deal with it because it invariably will affect the Patriots. You know, I have a comment very quickly here before we get to fantasy football. I have a comment to make on the whole concussion lawsuit settlement, which may or may not mean a lot to you, but I think it means everything in the world to the former players who threatened the lawsuit, and they settled out of court. But the reason it was settled, and you have to say the NFL, you know, wins in this particular battle, because there's winners and losers in everything we do, whether you want to admit it or not. NFL wins because I just don't know that the players, the former players, ever really found or could prove there was a smoking gun that the NFL knew years ago when concussions were a problem, that concussions could lead to lifelong debilitating problems. The things that we saw, you know, God rest their souls, Dave Duerson and obviously closer to the core here, Junior Seau go through in before they committed suicide. So if they could have ever proved that concussions could directly lead to that, but we're going to throw you back in there anyway, well, then we're talking, you know, more money than can be printed belongs to those players. And frankly, I kind of thought that was the case, but there are players who are alive now that need this money, and they're saying, hey, if we wait for this process to play itself out, my family may never get to benefit from it, so we want to settle now. We want to do something now. Kudos to the NFL for stepping up, but the players for hanging in there. Kudos to them as well. And I'm glad this is an issue that doesn't have to linger over us, even though the NFL probably got out cheaply in this particular instance. My 2 cents, your 2 cents are always welcome here on the program. Don't forget, you can also hit me up off hours via the Twitter account or the Facebook page or even the email. If you want to hit the web radio email account, you can do so and just say, hey, you know, for John and Playbook in the subject line. And Fred usually saves it for our show as it begins at 2 o'clock Eastern time. But the Twitter address, at JR Broadcasters, how you hit me up on Twitter, and John.Rook, R-O-O-K-E, on Facebook. Submit the friend request. We'll be friends. Fantasy football is coming up next, so I want you to stick around for that. Same Pat's time, same Pat's channel tomorrow. Glad to be back. Football is here, baby, in the playbook. 2 o'clock Eastern, Thursday.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
Pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program.
Ron Jaworski,
Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the playbook.
Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf,
CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2. Yeah.